There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, and here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile live from the USS Alabama Fantail, my favorite place to do a radio show, and so much coming up on today's show. And then at 1 o'clock, the Scuttlebutt crew will take over, and they will go from 1 to 2. Hey, coming up, Todd Stacey's going to join us in just a little bit, and it's funny, the subject matter that I was just talking about with my first guest and the boss here at the USS Alabama and Battleship Memorial Park, Janet Cobb, we were talking about this weekend's Game of the Century. I got a story on the way, and Todd Stacey's going to say how this weekend's Alabama-LSU football game in Tuscaloosa and President Trump's attendance at that game may play a part in whether Jeff Sessions announces if he's running in the Senate race. We're going to let Todd land that plane coming up in just a little bit. And, yeah, it's always great to be back. And Major General Janet Cobb, Executive Director of Battleship Memorial Park, thanks for having us back out.
Sean Sullivan, I wish you'd been here an hour ago. We were driving around in our Model T staff car. It belongs to our curator, Shay McClain, and he'll have it in the Veterans Day Parade on Monday. And some of us were piled up in there driving around the park, and our visitors were coming in looking like, oh my gosh, it's a Model T, and it's painted as a World War One staff car, and he has it on permanent display here in our World War One exhibit. So it's you never know what you're going to see when you come to Battleship Memorial Park.
You know, I think about the breadth of Alabama's service, Alabamians in service. And we talk about World War One, and a lot of attention, duly so, has been here with the anniversary for World War One. But Veterans Day focus for this year, the Vietnam era.
It is. And this year, the Vietnam veterans themselves will be the Patriots of the Year. Bill Atkinson, our great friend from South Alabama Veterans Council, will be the Veteran of the Year. Big doings on Monday. The weather's supposed to be great. You know, rained out last year.
Yeah. This year, I mean, I pressed Dr. Bill this morning on it, and he said, looks good. So it looks good for Monday. And, you know, I'm focused on, you know, a couple things. Number one, we have the parade. But y'all are from like 7 in the morning to the evening, y'all have stuff going on here at the park.
We do, and I'll start with actually over the weekend. You know, our park's been here for decades, but one of our favorite groups is Battleship Rugby. They've been here almost as long as we have. They've got tournaments this weekend. They'll go from 8 to 4 both Saturday and Sunday. You'll pay $4 to come into the park. Admission to their event is free. On Sunday, the Girl Scouts from Bay Minette will do their second annual flag retirement ceremony. They'll do that on the big field behind the USS Drum from 2 to 4 on Sunday. So if you have old flags, tattered flags that you want disposed of in a proper way, we will have Mobile Fire Department personnel out here. The Girl Scouts will take your flags. The JROTC from Bay Minette handles that with the Girl Scouts. Great ceremonial retirement of those flags. And then Monday, wide open here starting at 06:30. We've got our flag lowering and raising ceremony. The park will open at 8 o'clock for visitors. That day is very special, Sean, because the Alabama Bicentennial Commission has named Battleship Memorial Park as the official site for Veterans Day for the Bicentennial Commemoration. So the park is free that day.
All right.
You'll drive right through the gate, no paying to park. You'll come in and tour the Alabama, the Drum, and the Aircraft Pavilion for free. That afternoon, the skydivers will come in at about 2:45 and jump in, bringing small American flags and the Bicentennial flag. And we'll have our children's program at 3 o'clock. And then at 7 o'clock that night, Mobile Pops has that great performance that we'll invite the public to. Everything's free that day. Come on out.
This is fantastic. Yeah, I've heard from so many listeners when I've mentioned the events coming out here, they say, don't miss the Pops. Don't miss that show.
It's fantastic. We'll also have Karen Tunks, who wrote the children's book, Hooray for the USA. I'm sorry, Hooray for the Mighty A. She'll be at our gift shop signing books from 11 to 1, and then Live South Community Blood Services will do a blood drive from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Of course, we've got the Great Parade that morning, and then the Veterans Honors Luncheon at Fort Whiting at midday.
Yeah, you know, I was talking with Wayne Sermon the other day about that and these medals and these awards for Vietnam veterans, people during the Vietnam era.
Yes, they did that several years ago for the Korean War veterans, and this time around it will be for the Vietnam era veterans. And people say, what's the difference? A lot of people serve during a conflict. Some of them serve stateside. They serve around the world. But if you serve during that period that was so designated, you do qualify for that medal, commemorative medal, and it's a big deal. We're very honored that they'll receive that recognition that day.
You know, you bring recognition to the vets 364. Here at
Bachelor and we think Board. About them on Christmas
yes,
Day.
Yes, on Christmas
That's
Day you
right.
think about them. But, you know, the nation focuses on November 11th.
Yes.
And to celebrate the sacrifices that have been made, the sacrifices that are being made right now by our
That's
veterans.
That's right. We have young men and women and older people as well in harm's way around the world and serving in just daily jobs in preparation should their nation need them, and they're ready for the call.
Now, this is my home, so I see this, and I think this is normal. You have a battleship, and you have a big park and pavilions and honoring all our different veterans from Alabama, but this is not normal around the country. It's a pretty special place here.
It is, and we're a part of the Historic Naval Ships Association, which is a worldwide organization, and the majority of the ships, of course, are museum ships. They are here. There are 8 battleships that are left, aircraft carriers, lighthouse ships in the Northeast. So on occasion, you will venture into an area like Patriots Point in Charleston, mm-hmm. Out where the Midway is, the Iowa, up at Battleship Cove, where the sister ship, USS Massachusetts, is. She is Alabama's sister ship. There are places, but none more special than our 160-acre park here. We love it.
Yeah, and it's so I just have to remind myself and maybe fellow folks that live here, this is real special. This is part of our everyday life, but it's real special to have it. And maybe if you haven't been in a while here at the park, there's no better day than to come on Veterans Day on Monday.
Absolutely.
Plus, you save some money, but it's a
that's
to
right.
reacquaint yourself
that's
with the
right.
park, show your kids what it's all about.
State Senator Arthur Orr, who is the chairman of the Battleship Commission, will be here for a 2 o'clock reception. We're honored to have him, a couple of people from that staff, Jay Lamar, who has headed up this 3-year campaign to commemorate the 200th anniversary of the state of Alabama and the things that have been done around this state to remind us of the wonderful heritage of our state founded in 1819. It's just been incredible. We'll cap off the year. Bicentennial will run through December 19th and commemorate, have their final day with a big parade in Montgomery. We'll be there. The battleship float will be there. The Alabama crewmates will be there. And several of us will go as well.
Fantastic. All right, y'all, make sure to get out here over the weekend and again on Monday, of course, for Veterans Day. Thank you, as always, for having us.
Thank you, Sean.
This is not baloney. I say it even when I'm not sitting here with the Major General. This is my favorite place to do a radio show. Out of all the places I've done shows, this is, I could be here every day.
Think about the 6,000 men that served on the Alabama from 1942 till her time of mothball entry in 1947. Would they have ever thought about having a radio remote van on the fantail of BB-60? I think not.
No, that's for sure. That probably wouldn't have been their imagination, but their service is why I can do this.
That's right.
I'll never forget
As
that.
My dear friend, Battleship Commissioner Bill Tunnell, and my predecessor in this job would tell everybody, and back to you, come see us.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sean.
And we're coming right back. And, yeah, how a football game may play into whether former Senator Sessions decides whether he's running in this Republican primary. Todd Stacey joins us coming up next. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. The way we love to do this, live for the fantail of the USS Alabama, talking about all the stuff going on this weekend. Speaking of this weekend at the battleship, of course, Battleship Rugby is going to be out here. We're talking rugby here in just a little bit on the show. Plus, of course, this goes through the weekend and on to Monday and Veterans Day and all the activities. And we'll keep reminding you of those and remind you as well, our morning show on the air live from the Civic Center where the veterans line up for the Veterans Day Parade on Monday. will be there. So come by and see us, have a little breakfast, and visit with those veterans. And a special focus this year on the Vietnam-era veterans. So it's going to be extra special for so many of us. All right, you know this man's name. It's Todd Stacey. He's the man behind Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, and a man who has sessions on his mind right now. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
I'm doing a show live from the USS Alabama. I mean,
that sounds pretty cool. I heard fan tale of the USS Alabama. Man, I'm jealous. That sounds awesome.
It's a great place to do a radio show for sure. Here we are this week, and I teased this earlier, and you can kind of correct me or steer it where you want. But I said, how could this weekend's Alabama LSU game of the century figure into a possible announcement about this Senate Republican primary and Jeff Sessions? How can you connect those two things?
Well, you know, the one thing we know is that if Jeff Sessions does announce sometime this week, meaning now between now and Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, then that news would be very fresh, no matter what day, even if it was today.
Mm-hmm.
That news would be very fresh when President Donald Trump comes to Alabama, goes to Bryant-Denny Stadium, and, you know, for the LSU-Alabama game. And you have to think, especially given just the enormous magnitude of the moment, that he would be very tempted to tweet. The decision is going to come before the game, right? The Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, that is the deadline to register as a Republican to run for U.S. Senate. But if he does, which a lot of people think he is, then, man, well, as if that Alabama-LSU game couldn't get any bigger.
Well, and you've got a couple things. First of all, it is just as simple as the qualifying, because Jeff Sessions still has a war chest from his times, in the past in the Senate, that he can get right into this without having the first fundraiser.
Yeah, I believe he has almost $5 million in the bank.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And, I mean, so right away, that's some money to use. I mean, of course, you know, Jeff Sessions hasn't really had to run a real race in a long time. The last one, he was unopposed. The one before that, he basically was. So, I mean, you know, because he has been so adored by the Republican electorate, nobody has dared challenge him in a primary, and for the Democrats, it's been really kind of token opposition. So he hasn't really had to spend a lot of those resources. They're still in the bank.
But how the times have changed, right? I was just saying, as the times have changed, because he was absolutely a favorite of Republican voters in Alabama. But if he gets in, we'll find out, you know, if it's true. So many people have here in the state, when the president turned on Jeff Sessions, or they'll say when Sessions turned on the president, whatever it is, those people, they at least anecdotally, and I've not seen real stats, but anecdotally, they seem to abandon Jeff Sessions and go stand with the president.
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be the fascinating thing about this race. We know that President Trump is unfailingly popular amongst the Republican electorate in Alabama. I mean, anywhere from 85 to 90% positive amongst Republicans for Trump. Sessions used to be in that territory. The polling that we've got now shows that he's anywhere from 69 to 70% popular. One poll back in June showed that he was about 60% of GOP voters had a favorable view of Jeff Sessions, while about 34% had an unfavorable view. Now, look, that's pretty positive. Any of these Republicans running for Senate right now would kill to have those numbers, to have, you know, be that far, you know, above water as far as favorability is concerned. But the question becomes, what happens once the president starts tweeting? What happens when there's a, you know, daily or weekly, you know, attack from Donald Trump on Sessions? And it, just today, The Hill came out with another article, a source from the White House, a blind source, granted, but a blind source saying, yeah, the White House would not look favorably upon a Sessions run. I think that's all obvious, but there's no way to really know how those attacks would really land, what the people, what the voters would really think about it.
Well, okay, I think this is fascinating, too, as we break down some of these numbers. You're talking about this independent polling numbers on the Senate race. And you can let's do the numbers here of those that are the top four in the Alabama Senate primary for the Republicans. Let's do, you know, where they stand with Tommy Tuberville, Bradley Byrne, Roy Moore, John Merrill, and then add Jeff Sessions into it. Like, this question you and I have asked a couple times, who suffers most? Who has the most to lose from Jeff Sessions getting into the race out of the Republicans already in?
Right. So in summer, back in late June, Brent Buchanan's firm, he's got a polling firm called Signal, they did a poll that showed the following ballot stuff by percentage without Sessions in the race. Tommy Tuberville was leading at 29%. Bradley Byrne was next with 21%. Roy Moore at 13 and John Merrill at 12. And that about lines up with all the public polls that we've seen, even some internal ones from the campaign. That's about right, within 2 or 3 points of each other as far as where these candidates go. But then they ask the second question. You know, who would you vote for today with Jeff Sessions being one of the choices? In that ballot test, Jeff Sessions had 29% of the vote. Second was Tommy Tuberville at 21%. Then Bradley Byrne at 13%. Then Roy Moore at 9% and John Merrill at 8%. So right there, we know that based on this polling, again, a couple months old, but based on this polling, Jeff Sessions would be the front runner already in that field. And so that's pretty significant information.
It's big time, and it knocks, I mean, you can see right here in the numbers, it knocks both Tuberville and Byrne down by like 8 percentage points with the entry of Jeff Sessions. He does pick up support from, I guess you move some percentage from Roy Moore and some from John Merrill. Now, if, like you said, the president gets in the mix, and if the president decides to do this, you know, he did come to Alabama in the special and campaigned for Luther Strange. Remember that? And a lot of people thought, we talked about that said, man, that's it. You have President Trump come in and campaign for Luther Strange. He's going to win. And I think this is analog because so many people were talking about what happened in Kentucky yesterday with Bevin. And, we at Alabama knew that the president could have come in 5 times to campaign for Luther Strange, and people in Alabama probably wouldn't have changed their opinion. Same thing here with the president coming in to support, which is strange stuff to talk about in a Republican primary, but would he come in and would he back somebody else? Would he back a Byrne or would he back a Tuberville to stand against Jeff Sessions? And then would that move the needle?
Well, I think it would matter. I mean, if Trump actually came and endorsed a candidate, of course it would matter. You've got to remember the circumstances surrounding Luther Strange. I mean, from the very beginning, it just didn't smell right, right? Robert Bentley appointed the attorney general that was investigating him to the Senate seat. Now, look, maybe it was not nefarious. Nobody has ever proven that it was, but it didn't look right, and it just didn't feel right. And he never got over that. He never got over that thing. And given other alternatives, he was Trump's candidate. They kind of engineered that endorsement. But from the very beginning, Luther Strange just had that sense that, he never got over the sense that the voters just thought that was the wrong way to come to office, appointed by Bentley amid an investigation. So I you have to take that into account. But I do think it does show that Alabama voters, Republican voters, are willing to make up their own mind absent just what Donald Trump has to say, right? I mean, You would have thought back then in 2017 that especially given Trump's popularity, anything he said or tweeted, they would go along with. But it wasn't that case. It wasn't the case. It's not Luther Strange. Even Donald Trump couldn't get him over the finish line. So I think that shows that Alabama voters are willing to go their own way. And that really applies to Jeff Sessions, because if they were willing to do it back then maybe they're willing to buck the president this time around, too.
Well, and we run to the break and come back, but it seems to me, and I would like somebody can argue their side of this, but it seems to me that if somebody opposed Sessions just because they wanted to settle a score for the president, they're that's, I mean, Jeff Sessions is going to, if Jeff Sessions gets in, and if Jeff Sessions wins the Republican primary, and that person beats Doug Jones, y'all don't forget, you got to beat Doug Jones, and beats Doug Jones, do you doubt that Jeff Sessions would stand with President Trump on 99.9% of the policies in Washington? I mean, that's the question. We'll talk about it when we get back. More with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. He's going to tell you all how to get this kind of information for Alabama politics, national politics, when we come back. You got to check it out. They'll be back in just a couple minutes. We are live on the USS Alabama. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Shock
this
one.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live on the USS Alabama here on the Fantail. And as always, I say, my favorite place to do a radio show. And I know some big fans of the battleship as well. And they also like to play rugby out here in front of the battleship. We'll talk with them in just a little bit. Segment of the show brought to you by Harry's. You know, Harry's has given me the stats here on shaving, the history of shaving. I don't want to get into too much detail, but get this, 5,000 years of shaving for human beings. How they found that out, I don't know. But I trust them because I trust Harry's to get y'all the delivery of the great blades, the great blades, the great prices, and the convenience with Harry's. Now, I've been shaving with Harry's for over six years now. Been telling you to get on board, and this is probably the best chance. No, this is the best chance for you to do it because it's $3, okay? You'll get the five-blade razor, the weighted handle, shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at checkout. So it's just that it's $3, y'all. Harry's is... waiting for you to see what I've been talking about. And they made it real easy with $3 to get in. New customers, you get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code MOBILE at harrys.com. Get the five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping right to your door when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. So go to harrys.com today. Use code MOBILE at checkout to claim your offer. All right, continue our discussion with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And as always, tell folks just how easy it is to get that email sent to them 6 days a week.
It's really easy, and you're going to want to be on the list. It's the way to get your news these days. You don't have to log on to a million websites to go and search for your news. It's all right there in one place. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Click subscribe at the top of the page. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. It's free, no cost at all. You'll have the email and all the news you need to know in your inbox about 8:30 each morning.
And then, and people are super political nerds like I am. You have some other places they can go and sign up for even more detailed, some super wonky stuff.
Well, yeah, you know, we this year acquired Inside Alabama Politics. It's a insider sort of blog about things. We're actually working to bring that in to the Daily News as a part of it. You know, nationally, some sports fans get on Rivals, you know, to get the early scoops, to get all the good stuff. That's kind of what it's like. It's a paid subscription. So, like, if you're part of Rivals or maybe Politico Pro or something like that, it's for your... you know, advanced placement political nerds, maybe. So
I love it, man.
Speaking of that, that's where we have the polling today because it was such a scoop. We put the polling on the Sessions numbers behind the paywall and Inside Alabama Politics. But it's worth it because this is the first polling data that we have on Sessions getting in the race. And you've got to think that this is something close to what Jeff Sessions himself is looking at.
Okay, so he's there. He's looking at this polling data. He obviously has the war chest. We already described that, how much money he has. What keeps him from getting in? I mean, is it? What do you think? I mean, you can only guess what's in his head. But what would it be if he doesn't declare?
Well, I think if he ultimately decides not to, which look, I have him at 90%. I have a 90% likelihood that he's going to get in. But if he
that's the highest I've heard. That's the highest I've heard. You're sure about that?
The bad over the good, right? I mean, he knows it's going to be an ugly situation from the president, right? And you never know if that's going to really sink his campaign. The last thing Sessions would want to do is tar his legacy, you know. And he's already had it rough enough from Trump, but I think you could say that he exited that with a great deal of dignity. So you don't want to go down your last campaign losing and losing by being attacked. So he's got to be weighing that. But Sean, that's why I go back to say I don't think he gets in this race unless he's pretty sure, based on all this polling, that he can pull it out, or at least get in the runoff and have a fighting chance. So I don't think he makes this decision unless he's pretty sure he's going to win.
You know, it would be interesting if some kind of polling out there. I don't know how we even craft the question, but it's funny that we have to ask this. But can you be a supporter of President Trump and a supporter of Jeff Sessions in the Senate race? Is that a defensible position?
Well, the numbers that we have, right, the polling that we have from Brent Buchanan, they don't go into that. But I'm told by multiple sources, good sources in Sessions' world, that their polling did do that, right? He did an incredibly detailed poll about this race, and they didn't just ask, do you support me? Do you have a favorable opinion and all that kind of stuff? They went into detail about, okay, what about if President Trump does not support Jeff Sessions and, in fact, attacks him vocally, viciously? Would you still support him? And get into some details about that. And according to those that, are involved in this campaign and would be a part of the Sessions team going forward, they say those numbers hold up, meaning, yes, maybe there's some drop-off a little bit, but by and large, the numbers hold up that, yes, I would still support Jeff Sessions if Trump attacked him and if Trump said he wasn't going to support him. So we know that Sessions is looking at numbers like that. We don't know the precise numbers. We know that they're looking at data that says much of the electorate would still support you if Trump piled on. And another way to look at that, Sean, is think about it. Who doesn't know at this point? What voter doesn't know already that Trump really doesn't like Jeff Sessions, right? That he turned on him, that he called him names, he does not like what he did as Attorney General? I think that's pretty well universally known, even amongst the electorate. So when you get numbers back like that, it's kind of already baked into the cake, right? I mean, they know Sessions is not, or Trump's not a fan of Sessions, so it kind of already accounts for it.
And to point out the flip side, Jeff Sessions has said nothing negative about the president since he's been out.
Absolutely. I find that the most fascinating thing. And I think we talked about this the other day, just maybe lightly hit on it. In this day and age of just, like, being personally offended, right? Everybody's so personally offended. Everybody's got this thin skin. For all the ways that Donald Trump attacked Jeff Sessions, he never once responded in kind. He barely defended himself at all and just simply said that he supported the president, he wished him well, that he was going to support his agenda and be the biggest cheerleader for it. That's pretty amazing, just given the culture we're in. And I have to say, I think I would expect to see that in the campaign trail as well. And that sort of goes to the point. Like, it makes it seem more genuine. What we expect candidates to do is fire back, right? Or if Trump turns on me, well, I'm going to turn on him. Sessions hasn't done that. He's kind of turned the other cheek on it. And so it speaks to the authenticity that he believes in this Trump agenda.
And another part of this we keep leaving out is you got to have that person that you think beats Doug Jones. I mean, I know that the primary is often the general in Alabama, but you do have an incumbent here in Doug Jones.
Absolutely. Well, and you also have a short timeline. This is March 3rd. We've got Thanksgiving coming up. We've got Christmas after that. We've got New Year's. And suddenly you're, a month and a half out of the primary election with a short month in February. So it's actually not that long a time. And so if you're Jeff Sessions and you can, kind of keep your head above water and just hold out until then with your popularity being what it is, given that everybody else is supposed to, it's their job to come after you, he could be, winning the runoff and then the president has no choice but to either leave it alone or support him. If there's no way that Donald Trump is going to somehow turn on Sessions and support Doug Jones, because he knows what those numbers look like in the Senate, and he really needs the U.S. Senate right now.
Yeah, and I see people on the text line saying, "Oh, would Jeff Sessions would support impeachment?" Come on, y'all. There's not a Republican on the primary ticket for Senate that would support impeachment. And the other part of this, before we wrap up, I just want to point out that whether President Trump wins another 4 years or just completes his term now, whoever is elected senator is going to be there after President Trump leaves office. Still, our senator from Alabama is still going to be there. People need to look at this, whomever they support, as a little bit of a longer game.
True.
There it is. Todd, as always, man, I hate we're crunching on time, but we'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. Y'all be good.
Will do. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. Got to go check out that polling that he brought to the website today. The freshest stuff I've seen. All right. By the way, this weekend, not only are we celebrating veterans, we're doing it through rugby. 41st annual rugby invitational tournament going on down here at Battleship Memorial Park this weekend. We'll talk more about that when we come back next on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile, and as always, so fun to be out at Battleship Memorial Park. Got a big weekend ahead here, and we're going to talk about activities going on at Battleship Memorial Park. And Major General Janet Cobb was talking about it earlier, and she pointed out rugby, 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 and Dan and Daniel in from the Battleship Rugby Football Club. Am I right there?
That's right.
That's the official. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Hey, thanks for having us.
Okay. 41st annual rugby invitational tournament? Say what?
Yeah, it's been going on for a long time. A lot of people might not even realize it. But
yeah, I think you're right. They don't. It's 41 years.
Definitely 40 plus years. 41, we're pretty sure that's the accurate number. But
a little bit of a loss, but we yeah, think 41.
You know, we've had the Mobile, you know, Mobile got started with a rugby football club back in 1975, and then I think it was Jim Andrews, got with the Battleship Park and was like, "Hey, y'all got a lot of grass. We could use that.
Yeah.
You know, why don't we kind of rebrand as the Battleship Rugby Football Club?" And ever since then, it's stuck, and that was about 1977. This is one of the oldest, I want to say it's one of the oldest rugby clubs in the Southeast. Spring Hill College is actually the oldest, I want to say the oldest rugby college in Alabama, at least.
So the Jesuits had it started early there?
Oh, the Jesuits love rugby, man.
They love it.
Explain to people. Okay, so people they have an idea. They hear rugby, okay, and they probably even picture more the uniforms than anything and go, well, it's, I know they play it in on a field, but, and a lot of people, and Andrew, you can help me with this, that's about where they know the ball looks like a bigger version of a football.
Exactly. The biggest conversation starter when you say, or when you begin to speak about rugby, is they're like, that's a rough game. Y'all don't wear pads
right,
and you hit each other.
Yeah, isn't that like football without pads?
Exactly. That's exactly what they say. Isn't it like football without pads? And so really what we're trying to do is not only expose the club and the tournament, but really just expose the sport in general. Because like you said, most people have no idea what is rugby.
Well, okay, and this is part of, it's not a schoolyard game, right?
Not at all.
I mean, at least growing up, but y'all are looking to change. I mean, because if you grow things, you can grow them from the top and having attention to folks like you, but you also grow from the grassroots up.
That's right, and, you know, anyone, any age, you know, any person, creed, you know, gender, ethnicity at any age can pick up and play the game. You know, we do have a youth program in town that we're trying to promote, and we'll have a camp, I know, starting in the spring. I think on Sundays, yes, we'll have more details on that.
What ages on that camp?
Any age, all ages. I mean, if you're old enough to walk and
I got a 9-year-old.
We'd love to have him out.
That's perfect.
Absolutely.
Okay, and when that gets closer, we'll talk about it.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely give you some details on that.
And, of course, we don't start these kids out, you know, tackling, yeah. You know, flipping each other around. You know, we start off with flag just to teach the basics of rugby, to understand the game. And that's probably a huge misconception, is the fact that everybody thinks it is such a violent game. It's a contact sport. Let's not lie.
Right.
You know,
right.
There is contact. There are people running and hitting each other. But one of the big... I guess aspects of rugby, you know, everybody says, oh, well, you're not wearing pads, so it must be worse.
It's quite the opposite.
Think about it.
Yeah.
You take a man in full football gear. I played football.
Yeah.
Tell me to run at that brick wall. I'll hit it as hard as I want to.
Right.
That's right.
Take that same man, strip all of his gear, tell him to run at that brick wall.
See what he does.
Yeah.
And so rugby is more of a game. It's more of a tactician's game. It's more of
It moderates itself in the fact that there's not pads.
Very much so. And, of course, there are going to be injuries, and there will be the occasional crushing blow, but we're moving forward.
It happens.
Just
happens.
Like every sport is, to really concentrate on safety. Actually, football is beginning to mimic rugby tackling for safety reasons.
Yeah, Pete Carroll, actually, when he took the job with the Seattle Seahawks, made a point to teach rugby-style tackling to his players for two reasons. Not only, you know, one, because it's safer, but it actually is a much more effective way to tackle. If you know how to tackle, you know, or utilize a rugby-style tackle, you know, someone my size is going to be able to tackle someone, you know, Daniel's size here.
By the way, let me point out, both Dan and Daniel are big guys in the first place. So
Daniel's just a little bit bigger than I am.
So, okay, is it a sport where, because, you know, you look in football, in the pads, and I agree with what you're saying, but there's room. Everybody's big at the high levels of football, but there's room for different body sizes.
Oh, my God. One of the best players.
Yeah.
One of the best players on our team is RJ. He's, what, 5'9", 5'8"?
Very small in stature.
Maybe 160 pounds.
Heart of a lion,
but
small in stature. And also,
one of the best players on our team.
Another point about this game as well is it does fit every body style, because like football, we have positions.
Right.
And just like in football, you don't have your 150-pound guy sitting on the line.
Right. Exactly.
So you've got your big guys up front, and as you
so
move
back. So that's true in rugby, Daniel.
That's right.
Very much so. There are different positions. And, of course, there are actually more than just two, but the main two types of rugby that we focus on in the United States is 15s and 7s.
Okay, what does that mean?
So that basically means how many men are on each side of the ball.
Okay.
You know, in football you got 11, but in rugby 15s, you have 15 men. The games are much longer. On average, most games
a little slower
are 80 minutes, 40-minute halves. It does slow down the pace a little bit because that's a lot of running. And then you have sevens rugby, which is more of the small man's game. Now, I still play sevens. I use it to stay in shape. But at the top end level, a guy my size will not have the speed to compete with the really small guys. But it's also a different game because it is 7 minute quarters. Excuse me, 7 minute halves.
Right. And you got to think about it. It's a shorter game, but I mean the field is so much more opened up because you've got eight less men on the field.
Yeah.
And that 7 minute half feels like the longest quarter in
sucking
football
wind
you've
at the
ever
end
had
of that.
In your entire life. It's insane.
Okay, so let's talk about this weekend. We've got just a minute left here. This weekend, what if we want to come out and watch this go down?
So it's this weekend it's both Saturday and Sunday. Saturday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's going to be pool play and sort of the bracket, the placing. And then the semifinals are on Sunday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. We've got 25 teams coming out. It's actually one of the larger tournaments we've had in the past
That's a lot
couple
of folks,
years.
Yeah.
Men's, women's college, old boys divisions, and then we've also got both a premier and a social division. Both Daniel and myself with the team here will be in the social division. We've got some. Who are the premier teams? Do you remember? Gypsies are sending one.
Gypsies are sending
one. Some good rugby teams.
Some top tier rugby players.
Some top tier rugby teams.
And the biggest thing is, you know, just come out to the park. We don't charge admission to this thing. You know, just your general admission to the park. And, of course, that helps the facilities and
right.
stuff like that. But as far as us, we don't make money off this tournament from the spectators. We want people to come, see us, come out, see some rugby, learn about it a little
see
bit.
See how much fun we're having. See how fun the sport is to just be around and watch. And if you are interested, come and play. It's amazing. I mean, it's a direct evolution. You know, football, American football, that we know as how we know it is, what back then was called gridiron, was a direct, you know, offspring of rugby football. You know, as far back as a touchdown in football. Okay, the reason that's called a touchdown is because back in the day in the 1860s when football first started in North America, you used to have to touch the ball down to the field.
There
All right?
Go.
Which you still have to do in rugby. It's called a try.
Right. So we'll get. So we're going to get to see the genesis of what is football.
Exactly.
So.
Very good. We're going to check it out this weekend. Dan, Daniel, thank you for your time.
Yeah, and just remember, Epstein didn't kill himself.
Yeah, good point.
True story.
Yes, it is a true story. All right, I want to check in with our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. And I know, Angelo, we got a lot of rugby talk here, but y'all could probably get some of those silver rounds etched for the rugby tournament.
Matter of fact, I was thinking about that, whether we already have some in stock. I know we've got soccer and baseball and softball and a lot of other team sports. Of course, all the branches of the military. I don't know if we have any rugby ones in stock, but we can certainly make one up custom for you.
See, that's what they can do at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Once again, tell folks, too, if they're looking to buy or sell, y'all are buying right now.
Oh, we are. We're very actively buying, of course, actively selling as well. We're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. If you've got coins or jewelry, maybe some old currency or Confederate money, we would love to take a look at any of those items and make you an offer.
All right, and I want to just tell folks that Friday you and I will go in depth about the news around OpenL. I heard the show last night, y'all talking more about what's happening with OpenL knives at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and
excellent.
I'm very
looking
excited.
Forward to it.
All right, that's our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins. So whatever your sport, whatever your thing, you can go get a silver round etch for that. Go by and see them today. And the Scuttlebutt Boys, they take over. Yeah, those Marines are on next.